With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
J. Cross, how good would you say you are at the guitar?
I would say I...
Your three choices are beginner.
Yes.
Intermediate.
Yes.
Or advanced.
Probably beginner.
Okay, excellent. How would you like to move up to intermediate?
I'd really like to be an intermediate guitar player. That's the only thing I've ever wanted to be.
Good. That's about as far as you'll get.
Yes.
Unless...
Uh-oh.
...you use Guitar Tricks.
Okay, tell me more.
Guitar Tricks is an excellent website to teach you how to move from beginner to intermediate to advanced guitar.
Okay.
Whether you're just starting out or whether, you know, you could be, you should be better than you are.
Like me.
Indeed.
Yes.
Guitar Tricks will help you move through those stages as a guitar player. And good for you, J. Cross. We have worked together with Guitar Tricks to bring a 14-day free trial to not only you, but to the listeners of the Guitar Nerds podcast.
So that means I can try it for 14 days, and if I'm not into it, just cancel it.
You can, indeed.
But I'm probably going to be into it.
I think you probably will.
Okay.
You'll notice a swift advancement of your guitar skills.
Excellent.
So do you want to know where you can get this offer?
Where can you get the offer?
GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks.
Can you repeat that for me?
I can. GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks.
Is there like an app that you can use, or do you have to do it on your computer?
GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Word up.
J. Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Pancake.
Everyone is here and everyone sounds like they're fully up for it. Do you know what? Next week, I'm not going to be here for the podcast.
Can't wait.
Yes.
Which is probably
Joey B. hosting.
It's probably the second or third one ever that I've missed.
That's not true. You've missed loads.
I haven't missed
you've
that
missed
many.
You've missed loads.
I missed two last year, I think. And I think I missed one when we were at GAC.
No way. So you missed like the whole second series of GAC.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't count.
Why not?
Because that wasn't the real one.
It was the real one.
Nah, not with the real, the good old boys.
I was hosting it.
Nah, no one listened to that, mate.
And there was series three. You missed series three.
My point is...
you're never here.
I'm really up for it this week because I know that next week I'm not going to be here. So I want a good showing from you. And you,
your enthusiasm is really making me feel uneasy.
And Matt Knight, I want a good showing from you and everyone at home. I want you to play along, participate. Talking about playing along, we're not actually that far from the next quiz, I don't think.
Whose turn is it? It's not mine, is it?
Did we say one every 25 or one every 50?
No. Who won?
Can't be every 25.
I think Matt Knight
won. No, it was every 50, I think. So, yeah, we are
actually quite
really,
far away. That doesn't make sense, though, does it?
No, because it was every 25.
Yeah,
every
because 25. Because if it was one every 50, that would be one a year.
Yeah, and we did one for episode 100, and I believe this is episode 120.
So we're
or is this 121? This might be 121.
No, this is 120.
Are you sure?
100%.
Okay. So... in 5 weeks or so, you'll better be here because it's going to be another
That means, Joe, you need to write a quiz again.
No, it's not my go.
Who won?
I didn't win.
Who won it?
Yeah, but I thought we decided we weren't going to do it like that because otherwise Joe will never do a quiz again.
That is true.
Okay, well, we'll need to think about that. But anyway,
I think that's all because we've all done one now.
Yeah, maybe
it
I
went
should
full
do it.
Circle.
I wish Joe would do one a lot of the time. I wish he'd just do one forever.
Well, I tell you what, that's decided. I'll write the quiz. It's going to be great.
I think you should maybe have a listener question section.
Oh, that's nice. I'll do
where
that.
You get people, but listeners can only submit questions via text message directly to you.
Yeah, so we give out your number.
I'll just get your number. It's 079.
That is actually the
same. Okay.
Sorry, +44. No, but you should get some listener questions. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, they won't be worth anything, obviously, because, you know, whatever.
Won't be good enough.
Anyway, I'm going to theme the quiz. So it's going to be an entire theme on my new obsession
of travel guitars.
I hate
and,
you so
and
much.
And mini amplifiers.
I hate you so much. Anyway, so what I'm saying is I'm not here next week, so I'm really up for it. Good performances from everyone in this room.
Woo.
Good performances from the audience. And good performances from all the questions and stuff come in from the Facebook group. So it's all good. I'm looking forward to it. And also, it's been quite a busy week. You guys have been out filming stuff.
Have we?
When
you
I say
can't
you guys,
point at people
I know,
on
I
an
know.
Audio podcast. See, this is the second time you've done that.
I know. I'm excited. Matt and Joe, you've been. You spent all day yesterday filming
and
things.
And Jay Cross.
And Jay Cross was there as a supplementary helper.
Listen.
You ducked out to go to some sort of exhibition.
I went to a sci-fi exhibition at the Barbican, and it was fantastic.
Jay Cross saved my whole life.
I did. I picked Joe up from the train station, and he looked like he was ready to die.
It was a hangover,
really bad hangover. I gave him a sandwich.
That actually saved my life.
My sandwich. I broke bread with him.
I slept for about three hours and drank a bottle of Kraken rum.
I'm going to put the number for Alcoholics Anonymous in the text of the podcast. If you have a problem, do get in touch with them. Yeah.
Well, anyway.
That's before the podcast right down, isn't it? That's to let smooth off the excitedness at the beginning. So you guys have been filming.
We have.
What did you film yesterday?
What things can you talk about
did you film yesterday?
I wondered if you were going to check me on that.
You know,
we did film
absolutely nothing.
We did film some embargoed things that we're definitely not allowed to talk about. So I won't talk about them. We did Matt's Incredible. Oh, he's drinking. I expected him to finish my sentence.
I thought you were going
to
finish that
sentence. Yeah, okay, fine. We did Matt's Dan Electro Food Series pedals collection. The whole thing, all 21 pedals. Well, 20 pedals and one micro amp.
How did you go about this? Did you go through each one individually?
Yes.
We did. We did a small sound clip of every single pedal.
Yeah, so the video's going to have... Yeah,
and then we picked our top five.
Yeah, we did. Well, we picked our top five, but we also did sound samples of every pedal. And we also did, was it three or four sets of five different pedals, and Matt demonstrated how he could build.
So you did like a rock pedal board type thing?
Yeah, I mean, it was more all the same. Like, it was, you know, it was like he used five pedals to make weird post-rocky mulch, then he used a different five pedals to do that sort of thing again. Okay. But, you know, you get a
slightly different flavour.
Yeah, exactly. It was great. They were brilliant as well. Is the food series?
There was some that I hadn't actually plugged in because I just bought them on eBay, and then they just kind of like turn up. And I was like, oh, you know, put it to one side until we do the video.
I'm glad it
all
worked.
And there were a couple that like really surprised me.
Yeah. Well, what a massively like underrated series of pedals. Like, fine. Okay. They have that weird little button that is quite breaky. Like, there were a few that were stuck permanently on. But other than the breaky button and the plastic chassis, like, they are all, I mean, did we agree they're all like analog, like proper pedals? Like, there's an OC2 clone that sounds great and tracks ridiculously well. Even the sub-octave tracks excellently. Yeah. And like the chorus sounds amazing.
The Leslie emulator. The weak ones are the drives.
Yeah, true.
Apart from there's two distortions that sound really good, and the rest are actually quite poor.
Yeah.
But the one that I hadn't plugged in, that I plugged in then, that I was really surprised about, was the auto-wah. it sounded really good. As like, if you like, oh, I just want a cheap auto wah for messing around on, like, you can pick them up for like, I think like 10, 20 quid.
Well, this is it. We said the cheapest pedal that we got was what, £4.50, and the yeah. most expensive was 30 quid. You know, they're all £40, sorry. But what an incredible range of pedals. And things like, some of them were even clever, like the delay. I can't remember the name of the delay, the two-button delay.
PB&J.
Yes, the peanut butter and jelly.
Wait, two buttons?
Yeah. Yeah, there are two pedals with two buttons on them. But okay, so it's got two buttons and it's a delay. What's the second button? Tap? No. It halves the time of your delay.
So you can jump from like a long delay to like a slap back.
Yeah. How cool is that?
That's very cool.
Why isn't that like a thing? Why is that unique? That's so usable. That basically means you've got all your delay purposes covered in one box. It's so good.
I guess most pedals would have like a tap on them, so you can just do it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, fine.
The thing was, I put a photo up on the Instagram and then Dan Electro went, "That's awesome." And I went, "Oh, maybe you should like send us some stuff."
Oh yeah, oh,
we're like the
great.
Only people in the world.
Yeah, we're the only people who care about Dan Electro stuff.
So I love Dan Electro at the moment. At work a little while ago, we were doing like a load of giveaways, and I was contacting companies and being like, "Hey, do you want to be in this giveaway that we're going to run? If you've got anything you want to donate for it?" And Dan Electro got back to me. They were like, "Yeah, we'll give some stuff." And like, you know, people are giving some guitars, some amps, some effects, depending on who I'm contacting. And Dan Electro were like, "Yeah, we've got like a £200." Suede jacket.
Yes, you've told us about
this. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Oh yeah.
It's so Matt, weird.
That's, if they get back to you, that is what we need to review.
Yeah, get the suede jacket.
Wait, £200 in cost or in weight?
Yeah, in weight.
In weight, I kind of want to try it.
Yeah. No, just tell them, look, we don't want the guitars, we don't want the pedals, we just want that suede jacket, please. That is the only thing we want to review.
Yeah. Hey, so the other double foot switch pedal they do is their Leslie emulator. What was that called, mate?
Rocky Road.
The Rocky Road.
And that has the second foot switch, which deals with fast or slow.
That's the only thing that they can do with that second button. Yeah. It's like, that has to be the fast or slow button. There's no way around it. So.
Yeah. But those are the only two double pedals. But what an incredibly unique and interesting range of pedals.
I think that video is going to be a good one.
How does the Rocky Road sound? Because that's an effect that's notoriously difficult to do.
Well, what did you think?
I was really, really surprised at how good it was.
Okay.
Like, I think I even said in the video, there's Leslie emulators out there that are like hundreds of pounds. And to be honest, if you want a Leslie emulator, just go buy one of these secondhand.
Yeah. What did we pay for the Rocky Road?
I think it was kindly donated to us.
Wow.
All the way from China.
Really? That's incredible. That's incredible. Yeah, it's probably worth pointing out while we're talking about this that quite a few of the pedals were either like spotted by people or were donated. Yeah. I think, did we get some other ones for word donations?
Yeah,
for
we've had a couple of others donated, and some people wanted to remain anonymous. So we'll just put, you know, just say thanks very much for everyone that did kindly hunt for them, send them to me. Some people bought them and then just said, look, just pay me for the shipping. And, you know, it was amazing, really. It was a great, like, effort from everyone to kind of get it ready.
Well done.
Yeah, to get it ready in time for the weekend. So we made sure that was the main video that we got done, because we thought everyone worked so hard to get it there for this date that it'd be a shame if it wasn't the first one that went up. So
do you know what's going up on Friday? Yeah. Do you know what else was super cool that they did? Were the box sets. We got one of the Dan Electro box sets.
So was this, I don't really understand this, because I know that there is actually like a pedal board for the Footy Series.
We've got one of those as well.
Okay, what's the box set?
So they made, two box sets. One called the Summer of Love and one called Metal Mayhem.
Okay.
And the box set consists of four pedals that summarise that concept. So three pedals and a tuner. Yeah, you get a tuner as well. But yeah, we got the Summer of Love box set of four pedals and a tuner.
So have you got,
which is funny because, you know, as Matt pointed out, tuner pedals didn't actually exist during
the Indeed. So have you got those pedals separately from the box set, and you've got the box set as well?
I did have, but then I bought the box set and then got rid of the ones I had individually because they were like basically new in box.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll get rid of those.
They were still in
the
little plastic bag in the box.
Really? Yeah. So to complete the collection, we now just need the Metal Mayhem box set. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. You must be one of the only people worldwide that has got that entire collection.
Probably.
That's pretty impressive, man. I hadn't really thought about
I'm thinking about going for the full Dan Electro, everything up to like the end of the initial run. But so that, before they discontinue, because you know they brought out the Cool Cat, what is now the Cool Cat series, and they're really cheap ones. Like trying to get all the classic early 2000s ones. So there's like the Shift Daddy, which is the 100 millisecond delay that's on an expression pedal, and then they did two wahs. They all look like Cadillacs, but one's like zebra print.
Yep.
But there's only one I just don't think we'll get, and that's the Talkback reverse delay, because at the moment they're going on eBay for £200 plus. I'm like, they can't be that. I don't even remember that one.
It's not very good. It's not very good.
I remember working in when we were in GAC, and I think we had five of the Dan Electro Psycho flanges.
Yeah.
Going for like no money. And now you can't find them at all.
Yeah, they even go for decent money now, don't they? The Psycho flange, and they were rubbish.
I think it's because all those were just, they were old analog pedals, and people like me are like, oh, I remember those. Yeah, I'll buy one. And then you're like, because we're sort of that age group now. It's the same with computer games, and why computer games are going massively up in price. Because we're like, God, I loved N64 like 18 years ago. I want to buy a new one, but I want to buy one like brand new in the box.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'll pay 600 quid. Yeah, sure. That's, you know, and I think that's the thing. All these pedals are going up in value. Like the old ones are going massively up in value because people are going, oh, they were good pedals. And most of the things were analog, or they, you know, they're not as mass-produced as some things are now.
That's why Dan Electro need to reissue the expensive ones and completely destroy the market. That's the way to go. Like, if they brought out one of those reverse delays again, that would be excellent. Like, if it was exactly the same, that'd be so good. Yeah, just annoy all those people charging 200 quid.
What was the other one? The Sitar Swami.
Yeah.
That thing sounded dreadful. No, it just made it sound... just like you had really low action.
Yeah.
Sounded like everything was just fretting out.
It's a very bad sounding pedal. Very bad sounding pedal. Tell you what does sound good, and talking about things from the early 2000s, even before that, I got sent a couple of things from members of the Guitar Nerds Facebook group this week. The first one being, the one that arrived first actually was a Zoom 505.
How about that?
Which I've not yet had the time to plug in, but even just picking it up reminded me of some seriously good times, like the cheap plastic box. Those things are just hilarious. There's no design really gone into them, apart from the pedals say Zoom across them, so Z and O, and then O and M across the front, and the buttons don't click. They're like those Dan Electro ones. They sort of just push down very gently. I'm going to try and play it this week and report back, because I want to say I have good memories of the Zoom 505 from when I used to have one, but I don't really. It was quite bad sounding, so I hope it still sounds as nostalgically bad as I remember.
I think I was saying just before we started recording, I think what we've got to do is do a back to the 90s kind of look on all these classic multi effects.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that would just make an excellent video series. But the other thing arrived, again, you know, big thanks to the Guitar Nerds Facebook group. I think this came from a guy called Stuart. An old Pod 2. And I have had time to plug that in, and it sounds so good. So much better than I remember. And I don't know, recently, if you've watched the Andertons video where they compare a Pod and an amplifier. You know,
Joe was telling me it sounded great.
Yeah, he's watched it multiple times. and at the, I think it's a Kemper. Well, it's like an expensive rack modeler. And the Pod sounds pretty good in that video. Probably finishes kind of second of those things. It sounded, to my ears, considerably better than the amplifier, and not quite as good as the expensive modeling. I think it was a Kemper. But plugging a Pod in for the first time in ages, it does take a bit of tweaking, but once you've done that, it sounds really, really good. The Fender model in there sounds great. The 800 model sounds really good. And it's just so easy to get a good sound out of. Just tweak it a bit. Sounds great.
Mark, you must have been working in the shop for a little bit when they were first released.
Yeah, I remember the release of the Pod 2.
Because they were obviously like a solid unit by the time that I started. I think the X 3 had been announced when I started working.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I mean, we still sold so many pods, like every day. Someone's like, can I just buy a pod?
Yep.
Can I buy a pod?
I didn't start in a shop until probably 3 years after you were working there, and I still got asked for a pod pretty much every day.
Yeah, totally. They were, I mean, it's just
or
the,
if not
the
a pod, a Line 6 PX2, the
yeah, power, well, yeah, to power
the,
a pod.
Like pretty much only power supply that will work for it.
Hilariously, the one that I got sent actually doesn't have its original power supply. It has a third party's power supply that is almost as big, but certainly heavier than the pod itself. It's the biggest power supply I've ever seen. Again, thanks Stuart for sending it through, but I think I might actually dig out a proper PX2 because this thing is like a fridge with a couple of cables connected to it. It's ridiculous. But yeah, pod 2s, man, if you can find one cheap enough, they are 100% worth digging out. If only for, you know, if you just want a clean guitar sound, the Fender model is fantastic. And what I want to experiment with is running the pod with the cabinet models turned off into the Two Notes Torpedo cab to see how that will turn out. Because
ooh, that's a cool idea.
The thing with the cab models on the pod, and I'll talk about a theory on this later, the thing with the cab models is that some of them sound great, most of them don't sound very good. You have to be very selective with whichever amp you've chosen. You have to select the right cab, and it's not always the one that it comes set with. So there is a kind of a bit of tweaking there and playing around. And also the effects in there are not fantastic. So
do you remember the grey bass pod?
I do. I owned one.
Oh yeah, I used to have one of those as well.
In fact, I had the bass pod XT,
I think that's
what
I had.
Which had the little screen, the digital screen. Yeah. Because the first one did not have that. It was just a regular bass pod.
They were great as well.
More importantly, do you remember the Pod 2000, the chrome limited edition for the year 2000?
Oh my goodness.
That literally looks like something out of Terminator.
No,
it's so
I did not.
Shiny. It's awesome. I haven't seen one in the flesh since they came out. And I looked on Reverb the other day and they are going for a lot of money. Limited edition pod. So stupid, but...
Oh, they were great. The old bass pod that I had, I think Kid A had just come out. And I was playing in a band as a bass player and drummer. And
at the same time?
Yeah. So I had the Alesis drum machine running through a bass pod.
Right.
So that I could use the presets on the drum machine and make all glitchy...
When you say you were the drummer, you weren't playing drums
no, I was
and
playing
bass
a
live.
Drum machine.
Right, okay. But and playing bass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Nice.
Yeah, but you know, I used the pod as the effects for the drum machine.
Yeah.
It sounded well good.
Yeah, looking back on the pod 2, I think the amp modelling is very good, particularly when you take into effect like it's 20 years old pretty much. The effects I would say have not aged well. and there are other options that you might want to consider, but we'll see. I want to do some stuff with it. I want to try running it into the Two Notes primarily and see how much that improves things.
You should buy one of those atomic powered monitors. Do you remember that had the pod like on the top?
Indeed.
The docking module for
indeed
it.
I guess so. That's an FRFR cab, isn't it, that you basically pop a pod into and it's got it's got a power amp built in. I doubt you'll be able to find one of those these days. They are definitely all on a scrap heap somewhere.
Anything anything that has a dock.
Yeah,
in
always.
It, it's just you're just asking for trouble.
Put it in the bin straight away, basically.
Just asking for trouble. Do you remember the when or who was it? It was Digitech brought out the
it was like a multi effect.
It was a dock for your iPad, and they brought this out just before Apple announced the iPad Mini. Oh,
no, so it wasn't good. That. It was when they changed
from thingy to lightning.
To lightning.
So yes, yeah, me. Digitech, yeah, no, it was. Yeah,
it was literally that was what the iPad was what powered it. So it was an app that you had to download.
It was a foot controller for the app.
Yeah, it was. That was amazing.
Don't think those pedals are good, because people are still doing it now. Like, this pedal's totally blank, and then you can whack everything in it you want, but you have to use an app. I'm just like,
but Matt, you use an H9.
Yeah, but everything H9 Max has got everything in it, and you can edit everything from the screen. So it's kind of like, it's all the editing's still there, but it's like the ones where you've basically got nothing on it, and you've got to plug it in via USB to get it to work. But then also Line 6 also did the docking thing as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Which also totally failed.
Indeed, indeed. Talking about Line 6, and which we have done for the last few minutes, I got to interview Marcus Ryle this week, which is something that we talked about for a few weeks. Marcus was one of the co-founders of Line 6 after being working at Oberheim Synths and then doing a lot of freelance design work for companies including Alesis and other companies, and then went on to found Line 6. And we had a really good chat for about an hour about him starting as a musician, going to Oberheim, how being a synth player's informed the design of Line 6 products, and like the history and the idea behind Line 6. Like, we had a really good chat about like one of the things I think was best about the way they launched the Line 6 products is that in all of the manuals, they basically dedicated a page to each of the amps or each of the pedals that were in the thing. So like, you opened up the manual to a Pod 2 and it says like, JCM 800 model, or it says like Marshall 800 or whatever the patch is called, and then it's got a little story like, we got this amp from a guy called Steve, we think it's one of the best 800s we've ever heard, we've had it sitting in the testing lab for a little while, it sounds even better if you have a beer resting on top of it, that sort of thing. And it like made the digital modelling, rather than just the digital modelling on like, I don't know, I was looking at the Digitech 2120 in something earlier, which is a bit of rack gear that had some kind of amp modelling type stuff in it, but it just had preset numbers. You know, it was like amp 9 or whatever. This kind of brought the products to life, and it's a really easy way of explaining what modelling is. You know, it's taking an old amp and making the digital software sound like that, and it kind of gave these things a bit of character. So we got to talk about that for a little while and talked about the birth of the Variax and how I thought that the Variax, when we first got the press release, might be the death of Line 6. And we kind of laughed about that for a bit. So do go and check that out. It's one of the most... It's the, one of the things I'm most proud of as guitar nerds, I think, because I like Line 6 products, I've always liked them, and because I've started working in guitar shops at the early 2000s, I kind of feel like I've grown up at the same time as Line 6. That sounds a bit weird, but...
That's pretty weird.
Well, you know, they had two products when I started working in guitar shops. They had the Axis and the Pod, and now obviously it's a massive company and stuff. So yeah, we had a good chat about that, and there is a teaser in the regular podcast feed, but the full interview is over on Patreon. So if you're signed up, like I said, it's about an hour long. It's a really cool interview. I think he just talks and talks about...
Did he get riled up?
No. Awful.
No.
Unbelievable.
I've been literally waiting the whole time.
I thought you had. I guess you tried to interject and I was like, he's going to try and say something stupid.
Hi gang, it's Jay from Guitar Nerds here. If you're enjoying this week's podcast, please remember that you can always help to support what we're doing here by heading over to patreon.com/guitar nerds. If everybody listening to this gave just $1 a month, we could buy Joe Branton his own suit made of actual Babinga. Thanks gang, have a great week.
With that, let's talk about something stupid. The next person to speak is really stupid. Let's...
Nude. Exactly.
Good, this is the news. First up, Gibson announced the custom shop Burst Driver Les Paul. Jay, are you talking about it or Matt?
No, Matt Knight.
Matt Knight wants to talk about it. Matt,
well, I'm
Matt,
really
you've
glad
got the
we
deets.
Go through all this and decide these things before.
Matt Knight, tell us the deets.
My, oh my.
Well, yeah,
what could
exactly.
What could make a Gibson better? I mean, I must admit, this is very weird. It's come from the custom shop. I would have maybe expected it from a kind of lower production model, but it's come out on the custom shop. The Gibson Burst Driver.
I wish they hadn't called it that, because the Google search is throwing up all sorts of things that I didn't
want to look
at.
I think Gibson are never one to kind of like get it all the information out to people at the same time.
Yep.
So I don't think anyone's actually really put any details up about it. But yeah, the Gibson Burst Driver is a custom shop Les Paul standard with an inbuilt analog overdrive pedal.
Yes!
This is...
This company just can't do anything wrong. That is so awesome.
The thing that really weirds me out about this is Gibson are getting so much grief from... people on the internet that this just appears to be them being like, come on in.
They might as well just call the Les Paul Standard Troll Edition.
Completely.
No, honestly, completely.
This is a great idea. The best bit is that you have to control... Well, I'm sure Matt will tell us.
Yeah, Matt, tell us how it works then. So it's got built-in analog overdrive, but from... Yep. I'm looking at a picture now. From the front, it just looks like a normal, really good-looking Les Paul Standard.
It looks great, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, the circuit is built into the back plate, where you've got a battery compartment, gain, volume, and tone, and then it's engaged with a push-pull on one of the volumes, basically.
But how do you control... How do you control the gain, tone, and level?
You do not. You set and forget. There's three controls on the back, three trim pots on the back, and then that's it. So you've got no, like, on the front gain, the knobs or anything don't work for gain or volume or anything like that. It basically push activates the circuit, and
you need a little screwdriver to change the controls.
Well, they reckon it can be used adjusted with a guitar pick, which would not work in my situation because I use a 3.5mm guitar pick. So that definitely wouldn't work. But it's funny because I remember a little while ago I did an experiment and I can't find it now, but there was a capacitor that you could buy that you wired into your tone control on any guitar, and it turned it into an overdrive circuit with the tone basically working as the gain amount.
Okay.
And it was £35. Now, I'm sure this is obviously probably way more complicated and probably a really nice designed circuit, but I think what made kind of previous guitars that have had things like this in, like obviously they did the collaboration with Moog. You get things like the Sully Erna, which we talked about, that had the...
That is a great guitar.
The Sully Erna, which had the inbuilt flanger, but that was not like £900.
Yeah. I don't even think it was that much.
No, I think...
Or maybe we just...
I think it was 899. But okay. I mean, that's the thing. I think if it was a...
Why not test?
I want
to come
think like an SGJ or something like that, you know, or a, yeah, you know,
or Les Paul Studio,
£900. Yeah, exactly. But to put it on a Les Paul where the RRP is $5,699, like the kind of people that buy those guitars generally are people that kind of want something way more traditional.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think this is their best product ever.
I do sort of really actually quite admire
I'm
them
so
for doing
into this.
This.
This is great.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. I can't see them selling as... I think they'd sell way more if it was on a Les Paul that was £1,000, because it'd be a bit more fun. People would open it up. They'd probably tweak the circuit. You know, you'd start seeing people modding them.
Yeah.
But there aren't that many people that are going to buy it at $5,600.
Well, oh, no, every guitar that I mod, I spend at least $5,600 on it, you know. The weird thing about this is the colours that they offer it in and the build is so good.
It looks great. Good. So it's three, as far as I can tell, new colours: Smoky Quartz, Havana Fade, and Amber Ale. And all three of them
look absolutely
wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be a great guitar. There's no doubt it'll be a great guitar.
It's just a really odd, weird choice.
Yeah, because next to that, they've put also on the website, they've put Gibson 335 Heavy Aged, which looks absolutely amazing, which they're doing in Canada.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And the Apple Blue or Relic.
I
was like, that is so much cooler.
Yeah, that is a wicked looking guitar.
I was like, ah, that's really exciting. I actually really like the burst driver concept, and I'd be way more into it if it was a guitar that was £999 or less.
Yeah, well, it's weird to start this from the top down, really. Why not, you know, demo it on, like you say, LPJs or SGJs or whatever, whatever the base model, you know, entry level Les Paul is. Or, you know, like a studio, I guess, makes more sense, because they'll need to, you know, it will need to be a slightly higher price to justify putting the circuit in and stuff like that. So, but don't just try it on a $6,000 Les Paul. It just makes no sense whatsoever.
Just on a quick note, just looking at this this aged 335, Matty, I don't know if you've had a look at it, but the specs on the hardware is obviously linked to the Gibson back end of their system, because it says under the category switch washer,
which would normally be the washer that goes around the base of the toggle switch.
Yeah, you know, that would say
treble and
rhythm. This just says in block capitals, "Do not include." but it also says that the bridge and the tailpiece are wraparound,
which they're absolutely not.
They're not in any of these pictures.
Very odd.
So yeah, I don't know what's going on there, but
Alongside that, I just quickly scrolling through other models on this Gibson Custom, because half of these just don't seem to get announced. The what's it called? The Gibson Les Paul Standard Rock Top that comes in trans geode.
Oh yeah,
looks absolutely amazing.
Yeah, what was the deal with that? Are they actually there's some? Oh, because it's rock
like a
maple.
Limited run.
It's rock maple.
Yeah, so it's rock maple. So they've done it in like a bunch of rock named
rock
finishes.
Maple.
Trans granite. Fossilized flame. Trans geode, and then one that I don't really know how to pronounce.
Malachite.
Malachite. That could be it. Yeah,
I think that's it. Yeah. So yeah.
But it's weird. They don't really talk about these. But yeah, that's the Gibson burst driver, the Les Paul with an inbuilt overdrive circuit.
Perfection.
Jay Cross. Something else that's perfection. The Supro 1606 Super and the 1605R Reverb. Tell us about them.
So I think one of the things that has been a constant this year is
a Supro amp every week.
It's a Supro amp for every occasion. And I've actually found it quite difficult to get too excited about it, because they all look the same.
They do look exactly the same.
They all look the same, and they all appear to do, you know, much the same thing. However, these two amps, so the 1605 and the 1606, I think are actually really, really cool concepts. So they're small 5-watt all valve 1x8 combos.
Cool.
And it's really, really cool. And two very different specs when you look at them side by side. So if I start with the 1605, which is the cheaper of the two, the 1605 is $699, and it's this is the 1606. Really simple, 5-watt class A, and then you've just got a single 12AX7 and a single 6V6, and that's it, and a volume control, that's it. So it's just on and off. What? And volume, that's it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, a 1-8 5-watt combo, absolutely.
Completely, absolutely. And I think that's perfect, because, you know, you can't deny how good those super amps sound when you turn them up. But how often do you get that opportunity? So this, I think, is just fantastic.
Yeah.
You know it's going to sound great. You just let your guitar do the work, crank it up, bloody lovely. So that's really cool. The 1605 is a little bit more interesting, and I've really had to dig through the information to find out exactly what was going on here, because it's quite confusing.
Tell me there's a reverb.
So the 1606 is, again, built on the same...
Wait, 1605R, you mean?
Sorry, 1605, yeah. 1605R, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Again, 5-watt class A, 8-inch speaker, which has been custom designed for this amp, apparently in cahoots with Iowa State University, I think it was that I saw.
Iowa?
Yeah, I'm sure that's what I saw.
Do you mean Iowa?
Iowa. Iowa a fiver. hopefully she won't mind me paying her back later. Same sort of construction. This has got two preamp valves. Three. There's two 12AX7s, an AT7, and then a 6V6. And then here you've got a spring reverb, which you can bypass on or off, right. And you've got the control. And then on the back, you've got a number of different outputs. So it's got its own speaker.
Right.
So it is a cab. But you've got three other outputs. You've got a wet output, a dry output, and a mix output. And the wet output allows you to take the signal after the preamp and before the power amp and take that reverb signal from that amp and put it into the power amp of another amp so you can use just the drive sound from the small amp,
okay,
and stick the reverb through to another amp if you want to go through there. Or you can go through the dry out, which lets you do the opposite.
So you only
have the reverb coming through there. Or you can go through a mix, which allows you to find a sweet spot in between to give you the option of a stereo rig.
Okay.
This seems nuts.
Yeah.
Really, really weird.
Like a touch unnecessary for a 5-watt. Maybe if this was like a 15 or a 20, I'd be like, this is a great feature.
Presumably, the point of this is so that you can use this amp that sounds really nice and you've got a proper tube-driven reverb, I guess essentially as a reverb pedal. You know, and you could turn the amp on.
Send the reverb somewhere else.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
I don't know. Very, very weird. It really took me a little bit of time to get my head around exactly what's going on. And there doesn't appear to be a huge amount of information. But if you look on the Sweetwater website, they've got some pretty good pictures of it. And really weird. Really weird little combo. But very cool. But I think, they're pushing the innovation. Innovation, yeah.
Yes.
Of the 1605. For me, it's all about that 1606.
Well, that 1606 is a reissue. And I was just reading there, actually. So the way they were able to do such a meticulous reissue is that they borrowed one from Joe Perry. Of Aerosmith fame, tore it down and then recreated it, and that is now what is the 1606.
There we go.
Indeed. Dude looks like a lady. Love in an elevator. Aerosmith.
Rockabye?
That's a song by Aerosmith, I think.
Old man fashioning a canoe out of a log.
Old man fashioning a canoe out of a log. Joe Branton, tell me about the brand new Ibanez BTB and SR series basses.
Whoa! Well, that's half news, because actually it's just BTBs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's no new SRs?
There's no new SRs.
Hmm.
I mean, who knows? There might be. Maybe I'm just not very good at researching stuff when I'm tasked.
Tell us about the BTBs.
So the BTBs are actually the most exciting bit because
they're the only one that you know about. There are new. Whether we get to this or not, there are new SR basses as well.
Right, fine, whatever. We don't care about those because what we care about is extended range. And what's better than what's the most extended range a bass can go, J Cross?
What a bass that I own.
Oh. Yeah.
E.
Okay.
B.
Anyway.
B.
So.
A.
We're talking about the BTB series.
A. Okay. K. Which, the K5 went to A.
The BTB series has been the consistently A5. Five and six string models. They don't actually do a four string model. Haven't for ages.
What?
Yeah. There's no four string BTBs. There hasn't been for a long time. You had to go to the SR series for that. All of BTB was five and
six. So what you're saying is the most extended range is a four string.
Well, actually, that is the second part of this, is that they have reintroduced a four string BTB, which is pretty cool. So I really like the BTBs. They're really interesting because the idea behind them was that you get four string spacing on extended range instruments. So they're five string.
Big
actually
neck.
Has a whopping neck on it. Yeah. Thing. But now that having kind of fours back in, which is great because, to be honest, if you wanted like a four string Ibanez, you could only really get an SR. And those basses look pony.
They are beginner's basses.
Yeah,
No, they're not.
They look like beginner's basses.
Yeah, they do.
Not the high-end ones. They're all like Wenge.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
But they look
sort
like
of person
beginner's basses.
The sort of person that needs that sort of neck profile. It's like, oh my God.
You play jazz basses.
Do you want to rub your wrists with lavender before you play that?
Hey, that sounds Nice.
That sounds the sort of thing that Jay would do.
Yeah.
But anyway, the SRs are rubbish. But the BTBs are great. And having a four string is great. But what's better than a four string?
A three string.
No, a seven string.
Oh.
Yes, that's right. Ibanez have introduced the BTB 747.
That legitimately looks like an ironing board.
No, it doesn't. It looks goddamn awesome. After the absolute genius that was the part fretted, part fretless Ibanez 7-string bass that they released earlier in the year, they are right back at you with the new BT-747, complete with monorail bridge pieces, so each of your strings is dealt with independently. I've never understood why guitars never got more on board with that. I think it's really important. Pair of Bartolinis in there. They've got that classic like five-piece walnut maple neck. You know, and
classic,
and you know, they look great. They look like BTBs, to be honest. BTBs have looked banging for ages, but they're super cool, and they've got seven strings. So, realistically, that's everything you're ever going to need ever. Just get that. Just get a seven string. I don't even know what a seven string tunes to. I guess your low note's still a B, so it goes up.
Oh, is there one above?
F sharp. So.
I don't know.
It'll be a high C and then a high F sharp, won't it?
Yeah, I guess so. C then F sharp. That's just ridiculous. That's not. You might as well buy a tin whistle.
That's ridiculous. Anyway, they're super cool. Buy one. They're only going to be like $1,200. That's so reasonable. Just buy it. Have a seven string bass. You'll be the talk of the town.
Yeah, the talk of Clown Town. Jay, you've been researching what BTB stands for.
Yeah, because I was thinking, have we been calling these things BTB bases in the same way that
have we?
No, well, there's two.
I've been looking over your shoulder at the forum responses that you're reading, and one guy said BTB's motto is big body, big tone. It's like, and then he said, I don't know what BTB stands for.
Yeah, BTB doesn't stand for big body, big tone. I found two answers, and I'm not sure if either of them are correct. One is, and actually, they're two very opposite answers. One is, oh yeah, it stands for boutique bass.
Okay, that kind of makes sense. I mean, no. It doesn't quite work, but...
And the other is back to basics.
Okay. I mean, they're not...
Neither of those are good names.
Well, SR stands for sound gear. Which doesn't make any sense.
Well, kind of, because it's the first and last letters in the whole name.
Oh, maybe this is the first, middle, and last letters.
Yeah,
then.
So
boutique
maybe.
Bass, maybe.
Battenberg. No, maybe. Maybe it is. That's it from now on.
Bose.
Tandem Bow.
Bose terrible bass. Bose. Tight bass.
So next up in the news, we're moving over to Matt Knight, who's got something interesting to talk to us about. Isn't that right, Matt Knight?
Yeah, so it's a Beau Banton website. Oh.
Yes, Matt. Yes. No, what there really is, firstly, there is a new Beau Banton website. Do
it's
go and check it out.
It's not just a website.
But let's not dwell on that. Matt, you've got some news about the brand new Amp Tweaker, Tight Fuzz and Blues Fuzz Jr.
Yes, so Amp Tweaker are a pedal company that make ridiculous, like, over-the-top pedals with control. Their standard series have got so many options, they are just kind of an entire tonal palette in one unit. But some people obviously want smaller pedals for not studio use or, you know, for a smaller pedal board, so they've kind of reintroduced their fuzz pedal and their blues fuzz pedal into their junior form, which basically features everything on the full size bar the effects loop. You don't get a battery control, there's not the extra boost button, and you don't the controls aren't backlit, so to be honest you're not missing like some of the really really key features. It's only like a couple of small things just to kind of downsize the whole unit. But the things like the Tight Fuzz are really nice. You've basically got three tonal options: 60s, 70s, or now, which obviously won't necessarily stand the test of time and maybe
you kind
20
of
years
it.
Time.
But I want my 80s fuzz.
I know. Oh, although maybe not so much fuzz in the 80s, much more metal zony.
Yeah.
Maybe it needed like 60, 70 and then MZ.
God, he can't help himself, can
he? He's always got to drop in the reference.
Oh, yeah. Buy those metal zones, kids. So, yeah, volume, tone, fuzz, germanium or silicon transistor, selectable between, and then a couple of other EQ options. And then you've basically got the blues version, which has... a volume boost, which I believe boosts the input for more gain, and a mid control as well. What's really nice, these both come in bass tweaked versions as well. So you've got the kind of fuzz pedal that gives you all of the classic fuzz sounds, the blues fuzz that gives you kind of more of that cranked sort of tweed sort of tone, and yeah, bass player versions available too.
So yes. they're specific other pedals. They're not like a mode on the pedal. They actually do a bass version.
Yeah, the bass version do have a bass blend version. On, I think.
Okay.
I think that's the difference. We get an extra control because we can blend shiz.
Good to know you can blend shiz. Just what I want from a bass player. Joe Branson, talking of bass players and ridiculous things, tell me about the Guild Jumbo Junior Acoustic Bass.
Yes!
Someone who loves travel guitars, you should be into this.
Well, I love travel guitars and all things small. And Guild have, of course, earlier this year, Taylor brought out the GS Mini Bass.
Okay.
A bass so small that they had to have their own set of strings custom made by Daddario. Because, of course, all Taylors come with Elixirs.
Yeah.
But not their GS Mini Bass. But anyway, because obviously, you know, who wouldn't want a GS Mini Bass? Guild have seen this gauntlet laid down before them, and they have taken it upon themselves to also make a small bass guitar that's acoustic.
It looks very much like a GS Mini style.
Yeah, it's not actually as small. It's just like a 3/4. So
okay.
They don't have to have... well, maybe it is the same strings. It says that they come complete with the Daddario EXB short scale bass strings, but I think that's just their standard like short scale bass strings.
Maybe someone
super duper short.
Now that Taylor have opened the door for basses with those strings, everyone's like, right, now's the time. Make the basses. Yeah. The strings are available.
Yeah, but this one's super cool. So it's like the Jumbo Junior, but the body shape is very much that of the sort of the Gibson-y Jumbo thing, which is pretty cool. It's gonna be like $700,
okay,
which is pretty premium for a short scale bass. But it does come with the Guild AP1 piezo pickup in it, so
okay.
it's a pretty well to do built in pickup. Cool, a totally cool instrument. The more travel sized instruments that can be released, the better, because I believe that people are getting smaller. And so that it's important for us to have instruments
Where's
that we
going?
Can use in like 50 years, 100 years when people are like much smaller.
Listen, mate, just because you've been hanging out with me for the last couple of days doesn't mean you need to build up this little complex you've got going on.
It's not a complex, Jay. It's
people are getting bigger, if anything.
Do you think?
Yeah, 100% people are getting bigger.
People are just... You find it difficult to tell because everybody wants to get really far away from you.
Yeah.
And you've got really bad depth perception.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's that too.
Have you seen my nan? She's tiny.
Yeah, I saw her the other day.
Maybe we should move forward to some...
questionable meetings with Mark's nan.
Will says, I'm thinking about getting a compressor pedal. I really like the idea of increasing the sustain for clean notes and being able to manipulate clean tone. I'm not fussed about inbuilt distortion or drive. I'm thinking of spending sub £150. Currently, I like the look of the hypergravity from TC Electronic. I like the versatility of the pedal, traditional sounding compression, tone plint, and spectra models. However, I'm nervous about getting of it being digital, and sometimes versatility can be overwhelming. Conversely, there are a plethora of alternatives, such as the Keeley Compressor Plus. They don't seem to have as many features, but seem to have their own distinctive sound. Any thoughts would be appreciated. Matt Knight, Pedal King, the man whose feet we bow down to in the land of pedals. What do you think?
Here's a surprising one for you. Dan Electro, Surf and Turf. And Joe will back me up on this. It actually sounded... If you like the sound of a Dynacomp,
yeah,
don't bother. Just buy one of those.
Yeah,
it sounded really good. But it's obviously a really classic kind of like squashy compressor,
which is cool. I mean, if this guy, if Will wants to, if he's just looking for enhanced sustain, then actually I think, and especially if he's afraid of versatility, I don't think it's, he could go for a traditional compressor certainly.
I think like the one that kind of stands out for me would be maybe either go for like a Dynacomp, which is much more kind of squashy and vintage, or an old Boss CS3.
Yeah,
they're kind of like set and forget.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
They're still analog.
MXR have just put out the Dynacomp Mini as well, which is really good.
Yeah.
It's been getting rave reviews, the Dynacomp Mini. I've not heard it yet, but if it sounds anything like a regular Dynacomp, that would do the job, but, probably.
The standout one, I think, that we've all tried and probably all agree on recently is the JHS Pulp and Peel.
Yeah, is it under £150 though?
Let's have a look.
Oh, he said under 150. I was going to suggest the Anasound Lazy Comp, especially if he's at Freddy Controls, because that just has one mix control. It's $299.
Depends where you buy it from, but actually, no.
No. Well, there is also, what about the Bright Onion, the baking powder?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, it's not versatile at all. It's a single knob that you basically set to the right volume, and it's got a fixed amount of compression.
It does have a fixed, quite squashed attack as well, which can
I was
be
gonna
a
say,
little tricky.
Sorry, Jay, go on.
No, that was it.
I was going to say, because things like the Hypergravity or the CP1X, the problem with the digital ones is they're kind of like adaptive.
Yeah.
So the controls don't necessarily do a lot because they're all kind of like active with each other. So there's no like obvious tonal tweaks. Whereas like you plug in a CS3 or a Dynacomp, you can hear like the amount of squash go up when you turn the compression rate up.
Yeah.
I would always, we talked about Dynacomps, but I'd always recommend the Smart Comp as well, which I think is a really neat
Smart
pedal.
Comp.
Yeah, MXR.
Super comp.
Sorry, Smart Gate, isn't it? Super Comp.
Yeah.
Super Comp is really nice. That's the that's kind of MXR's take on something perhaps a little bit more modern.
Well, it's. I always thought it was just a Dynacomp, but they'd added an attack control.
No, it's got a bit more about it than that, I think. Right. There's a bit more going on. But yeah, I mean, any of those, I would say, to be honest, for the sort of money it'll cost you, get a Surf and Turf. What are they going to cost, Matt? £30 maybe at the maximum?
All right. Probably 20, I think, if you could pick one up.
We're bringing Dan Electro back.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
We're just trying to get that suede
actually,
jacket.
Welcome to the Dan Electro podcast.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, it's like, especially with, it's one of those, I think this is what they're great for. Just going back to it real quick. It's like, God, you know what? I really want a Leslie emulator, but I'm not sure if I really want to fork out the money. Buy one of those, and if you really like that sound, you end up using it all the time. Buy something more expensive. You're not sure if you want to use a compressor? Buy a Surf and Turf. If you get on with it,
well,
you can
actually
maybe go on to something else.
Like, staying on that topic, the great thing about the Dan Electro Food Series pedals is because a lot of them sound great, the problem is in the build quality.
Yeah.
And because so many people are using switches these days, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Just get them for the great circuitry.
But and also, from what I understand, they're fairly easy to rehouse. So if you're looking for a project and you want to save a bit of money, just buy like die-cast housing or whatever, or a little pre-made pedal housing, and take the innards out of the Surf and Turf and put it in there.
Seems
to be a popular thing to do. So yeah, a few options there, but for £20, get a Surf and Turf, see how you get on with it. I think let's move on. Andy says, so I bought an EVH 5153 50 watt combo last year and it's amazing, but I didn't factor in the trouble I'm having moving it about. At 45 kilos, it's not easy to lift on my own, especially up to my second floor flat, so looking for an alternative head for gigging. The EVH head is too expensive, so what are the alternatives? The Hughes & Kettner Tubemaster 40 is what my other guitarist uses, so want something different. I quite fancy the Kraken, but again, it's expensive. Will the Katana 100 watt head do metal? Suggestions, please. Loud enough to gig small clubs. Effects loop would be nice, but not essential. Must have more than one channel. So, small giggable valve head that will be loud enough for gigs.
Does metal
and has more than one channel. What are we saying?
Just to add a little bit more context here, the Kraken is currently about £900.
Ooh. Is it that much money?
And that's,
I'm surprised at that.
So less than £900 is what we're saying.
Okay, Matt, any thoughts?
Yeah. Oh.
What was the new EVH 5150? Wasn't there a version 3?
That's what he's got. He's got the combo version of that.
No, no, but there was a new one out this year, like a lunchbox head, 15 watts. I'm sure it was dual channel.
Wasn't it the EVH Mini or something like that?
It was a 5153 with dual channel, and I'm sure it had dual concentric pots on the gain and the volume, so I couldn't remember if it was dual channel or not. That would be a good option if you kind of want something way more portable.
There is a complete answer to this. Like, PV have brought out a 6505 20 watt mini head.
Yeah, so that, I guess.
No,
So you're saying that there's an EVH option, but there is. There's also a PV option. Joe, give us the rundown on that.
Well, yeah, I think it was earlier this year. It might have been towards the end of last year, but yeah, PV put out a 20 watt version of their 6505. I mean, let's not forget, I know he's a two channel, but PV also put out the Piranha.
Yeah, that's not loud enough to gig with. Definitely not.
Yeah, probably not. Whatever. But anyway, yeah, the 6505 20 watt all tube head is all the controls that you get on the 50 in a 20 watt version. It's got two channels.
Well, let's not get confused. Andy's got the actual EVH 5150.
Right. Sorry.
Rather than the 6505. Yes, and course. Jay, it looks like you found the head version there.
Yeah.
So there is a 5150. Yeah. There is a 5150 lunchbox.
Yeah.
LBX2 dual channel, £483, 15 watts. I'd seen it in Guitar a couple months ago when I was there next to the other one, and I was like, oh, that's a new one, and I think it came out at NAMM this year. But it shares an EQ section, but it's got dual concentric volume and gain controls
For the two channels, right? Okay. My only concern with those is, is 15 watts loud enough to gig with if you're in a loud metal band?
If you're miking stuff up these days, which most places are, I think you'll be fine. Really do. 15 watts is pretty loud.
I think so too. I think if you're miking it up, I just wonder why Andy...
I mean, Andy's not competing with, you know, it's a TubeMeister 40, but it's not...
It's not 100 watt.
Well, TubeMeister, no, 36?
There's a 40 now, I think, 40? Isn't there? Yeah, yeah.
There's a GrandMeister 40, yeah.
GrandMeister 40, okay, yeah. But, I mean, you know, we're not competing here with a dual rec.
Yeah, completely.
No, it's not double volume, is it? You have to go 10 times the power to double in maximum volume.
Yeah.
So you actually need 150 watt amp to be like twice as loud as the 15.
Yeah.
So at 40 watts, you're actually only, you know, decibels, only a few decibels louder. You've just got more clean headroom.
Yeah, which sounds like he doesn't want, because he looks like he's doing a lot of metal. So, the only reason I say that is because Andy hasn't mentioned that head when it's the obvious one to go for. So I think maybe he's concerned about volume, but I think you'd be fine. I think you'd be fine. The 15 watts, like you say, is not going to be noticeably quieter than the GrandMeister 40. It's just not going to be as clean. Yeah. But for metal, who wants to play clean? No one. People want it loud and distorted.
I think, to be honest, this was a bit of a kind of weird sneak release. I don't think many people know it's out there.
Yeah.
Because I've not seen it in many stores, but definitely one worth checking out if they like the EVH sound already. It's just a scaled down version, basically.
I'm just on Popular Guitar Shop, GAC, website right now, and it is in stock.
Okay, so that's actually the version one, though. Because there's a version two, from what Matty was saying.
Oh, right.
Okay. There is a version two.
Yeah, so that's
LBX2.
Yeah. All right, okay. I'm on the wrong page then.
Yeah.
Don't you work for the company that's...
Different division, mate.
Different division. Anyway, so Andy, I hope that's cleared things up. Probably still stick with the EVH if you like the sound of it. Why not just get the small head that looks like it will probably move some air as well? I think that's definitely the best option. With that, we are coming towards the end of the podcast. If you want to hear more, you can always go to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular podcast ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you all the bonus content, like the Line 6 interview that we talked about, all the other interviews we do, plus Joe Branton's mini-series series, the Branton's Ranton, Gear of Yesteryear, which we've dug out the magazines for now, so that is coming, where we look back at old guitar magazines and talk about what they were doing in particular years. Plus, you get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week. That's all at the $5 a month tier. At the $10 a month, you become one of our super special executive producers, and you get your name read out on the podcast every week like these lovely people.
Derek Rynch, Chris Connors, Andy Joy, Steve Merkel, Ben Tom's Connors, Manager, Andrew Michael, Mark Cross, Dennis Scott, Annie McKenzie, Brad Pitt, Paul Corrigan, Dan Gunther, Will Kress, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quinn, Phil Thompson, Laurie Anderson, Moon Grammy, Colin Anderson. Brenda.
What did you say?
Said Brenda.
Brenda? Who's Brenda?
I was making it up.
Oh, right. Is that my nan's name? She's referencing my nan again. Yes, right, okay. Gotcha.
Is it your nan's name?
No, it's not.
She wouldn't tell me. She asked me to call her nan. Honestly,
I don't like this very much at all. This is horrendous. If you want to tell Joe, oh, by the way, we should mention Patreon this week. We threw it out to the Facebook group. What did they want us to talk about? We put up a few options, and the group decided they want this week for us to talk about the worst gear we've ever owned. So if you want to hear that, patreon.com/guitar nerds. You can join in the Patreon polls, all the other fun and games that we have over on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Guitar Nerds. On Instagram, we've just hit 7,000 followers. So if you're not part of that, you should be. Why are you not, if you're listening to this, you idiot? And you can also go to YouTube, youtube.com/guitar nerds videos. There we go. Almost got through without a mistake. youtube.com/guitar nerds videos. Joe and Matt are putting up the first episode of the revamped Guitar Nerds show on there. Plus, we got new top tens and stuff coming soon. So that's your lot for this week. I will see you in 2 weeks. This lot will, oh, God knows. Probably the whole podcast will be on fire next week.
It's going to be great.
I don't believe you. Nah. With that, we'll say bye-bye.
Thanks, gang.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.